Tonight, Pretty Late plays political catch-up as we chat with Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski, and Eric Elk. Then later, it's Wednesday, so we of course unlock our Trump tracker. And finally, comedian Sydney Adenahy closes the show. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, man. I haven't been here since Friday, and so much has happened, but mostly the Cubs won. They won. I stayed up late on Monday night watching and waiting, and it's fine. It's fine, Dave Lundy, to lose one. You know, we'll keep the Cubs. I heard people say keep the Cubs honest. I didn't need to be honest.
We need just a little drama, but only a little.
Just a little, yeah.
I think that
that was 13 innings.
It was 13 innings, and it was heartbreaking, I watched every second of it.
So did I. It was fantastic.
It was heartbreaking. But fortunately, it's all fine.
It's all good. It all turned out very well. We have Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski, and Eric Elk. We are going to talk a lot of things that are happening in the world of politics. But first, it is really such a great game to talk about from last night. I watched the entire game. I was at Mo Daly's in Norwood Park, and people were leaving in the eighth inning. They were done.
I had friends who were texting me saying, I can't watch it anymore. And they're diehard Cubs fans. I can't watch it anymore. I'm turning it off. And I'm like,
how do you do that?
Don't do it.
I don't understand.
How do you be a diehard fan and turn it off?
That's not a diehard fan.
You got to watch.
No. And Jeff Hoover, who works for WGN News in the morning, he said that he turned off the game and woke up. I mean, that's got to be. How do you feel?
That's because he listened to it on the radio.
No, he turned it out when we don't carry them. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Sorry.
I know. Everyone kept telling me to turn my radio on because I couldn't watch the FS1 guys. They were so in the back pockets
terrible.
Of the
tank
Giants.
Of a giant. It was awful.
It was really bad.
Well, which FS1 guys? The announcer and analyst or after pre and post game?
All of it. Mostly the during.
The during. The excitement that they had. Only when the Giants would score.
Yes, and then they were in the seventh or eighth, they were talking about, now we're taking it back to Chicago. I mean, they were already there. We're going to be back in Chicago.
I think part of that is just the natural inclination to root for the underdog. And the Cubs are such overwhelming favorites. You kind of want some drama, right?
A little bit.
Fifth game. That would be great for ratings.
Sure.
Great for them.
Who needs to push that luck? I don't need that.
No.
And plus, win there.
Yeah.
Win.
Get it over with.
Win in the sunshine where they're.
From a baseball perspective, they now get a chance to relax over the next couple of days. They don't have to blow out any of their major pitchers. They're all ready to go on Saturday.
Rizzo was at the Hawks game tonight?
Yeah.
Let's see. There you go. Well, and last night, Madden in the post-game press conference said he was asked, what was he thinking about with game five? And he said all he could think about wasn't whether they were going to be able to pull this off. He said all he could think about was, I don't want to face Cueto in game five in Wrigley. Because
really?
Because he's got like a 1.0 ERA.
Yeah, that guy.
And it's like, no, don't want to face him. We got to win now.
Yeah, my mom, as you saw what I posted, my mom was yelling at Cueto last week, and she goes, well, I'll tell you one thing. A man that can wear his girlfriend's hair has to have a lot of confidence.
Your mom's very prescient. That's absolutely true.
He's a remarkable pitcher.
He is also a very interesting dude. If you've ever followed him on Instagram or any of the social media posts he does, he is... kind of an out there kind of guy.
Really?
Yeah. In a good way. His own man.
Well, I do have to say the thing that made me the most, made my heart stop a lot was every time that ball was hit to right field in San Francisco. That's where a lot of heartbreak and really great moments, uplifting, saving moments. It was crazy that back corner. It seemed to me like it was different than other parks because it looked like it kind of curves back a little bit.
It does.
Right?
It's a very strange park. It's very hard to hit a home run in. It's not a friendly park with wind, the way the wind comes through off the bay.
You've got the one corner where it's like only 309 feet deep, but the wall's 25 feet tall.
Yeah. Right. Well, it seems like an easy place to hit a double that turns into a triple.
It could hit the wall, and I've seen it come off at weird angles.
Yes.
So it hits the wall in right field, and it goes off an angle straight towards center field, and I've seen guys get triples inside the park, home runs.
By the way, did you see that when they said it was a two-run homer, and they had to take it back, it was a double?
Yeah. Another one.
It came up on the screen. That it was a two-run homer. Nobody had called it a home run yet.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
Well, and it was close.
It was
It was inches away from being a homer.
You don't put those graphics up.
Fake us out.
Especially not Chicago.
Oh, man.
And look at Chris Bryant's home run the night before in the ninth inning which just hit the I guess the car.
Well, he was 2 inches in the right direction.
If he was to either side, it was caught at the wall.
Right.
And it just, I've never seen a ball hit on the car. I've seen a lot of games in that park. Never seen one hit right on the car.
Well, and that home run was really, I thought, important for Chris Bryant's confidence, because I really question, is he a clutch hitter? And, you know, can he really hit in the big game and do what he needs to do? And right there, boom.
Boom.
There it was.
Question answered.
Yeah.
How about Javier with that one grab he had at second? Where he went one way, and he didn't get him out. But then when they got him out on the steal, look at Javier, he's like, gotcha. Yeah,
Javi Baez was amazing.
Oh my God,
amazing!
So much fun to watch
that grab that they overturned.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand how the human body can contort itself that way and make a perfect throw.
Yeah. A little skip,
but right into his glove.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
Oh,
yeah,
that was
so good.
The two plays he made were sensational.
Oh,
well, so
and
clutch.
That's the thing. You look at this team, and you have the youth on this team, mm-hmm. and they're all so good.
Yeah. Well, but you do get nervous about the relief pitching then. When I'm not sure, because the announcers are going, this is it. This is the last guy they got. I'm like, oh, especially on Monday.
Right.
During the extra innings.
Well, they still had Edwards.
Right.
And he's been really good.
Yeah, but there are games
the
that go like 17, 18
no,
innings.
I was worried. I mean, had that especially when it was 5-5.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. And we have no more pitchers.
Yep.
This is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't Carl Edwards, though, look like he should be in high school?
He does.
He's so skinny and so young, and his uniform really kind of doesn't fit him because he's so thin. It like hangs on him. He just looks so young.
Don't get me started on uniforms. There's the pajama bottoms. There's the short pants with stirrups. Then everyone's got a different pair of pants on. I don't know. I see this where I'm, the girl in me goes, what's going on with the pants?
Yeah, I didn't notice.
You don't notice the pants? Some of the Giants have, come on, Ken, you got to notice that some of them have the
Ken
long,
notice the pants?
Some of them go like above the knee.
Well, right, Ken's probably made a bet on the pants.
You will see Bryce Harper tomorrow in game 5 for Washington. Just take a look at where his pants, how they come up. It's not a good look, in my opinion.
Are they the high ones or the baggy ones?
He has his pants rolled up to his knee,
yes.
Right about the kneecap. And since, you know, your pants have only so much material, all the material has to go up.
Right.
So it kind of makes everything else looks weird.
I'm so glad you... Okay, good. I'm glad there's a dude that noticed the pants.
Yeah, no, it's... Well, baseball players, and I played baseball, you always are concerned about the stirrups.
I love stirrups.
I used to wear my pants. I used to pull the stirrups all the way up, mm-hmm. showing the white, almost up to the... just
right,
underneath
right
the knee.
Kind of like you wear your underwear?
No, it was the style back then, long time ago.
I played in the 80s. I wore stirrups.
The only guy who ever wore his pants down to his ankles was George Hendrick, who played for the Oakland A's, who's been a coach now for God knows how long. But this is different. The keeping the stirrups down, but rolling the pants up.
I've never seen that.
It's a different style.
Eric, so Dave, weird. You'll be looking at the pants on Saturday.
I am going to be looking at the pants.
Look at the pants.
I guess I'm going to have to check it out.
But I'm going to have to look at them in person, because...
Oh, stop it with the tickets.
I'm all so right. excited.
Right. Well, everyone watch out for the pants. When we come back, we'll see what's being kept in the pants. More after this on 720 WGN.
Come on, boys, take them down. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great.
Hey, Craig. Is it me, or we've been playing this for a while. Is this song a little bit creepier than it was when we first started playing it months ago? Yeah, now it's taking a... I don't know how I feel about playing that song anymore, Dave Lundy.
They're not teens.
Right, they're little girls.
So unlike the first story that broke today about Donald Trump creeping his way in the Miss Teen USA dressing womb when they were naked.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Matt.
Or the lawsuit by the woman who alleges that when she was 13, Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein at a party raped her. Or the New York Daily News headline tomorrow that Trump on a... I think it was Entertainment Tonight with an open mic. Saw a 10-year-old girl, invited her onto an elevator, then looked into the camera and said, I'll be dating her in 10 years. And it had a lecherous look in the camera. That's the big headline.
Yeah.
Wait. Stop. What? Wait, there's tape?
Yes, there's tape. Yeah. And we knew there was tape yesterday, actually Monday, when Trump threatened the Clinton campaign, saying there better not be any more tapes coming out. We knew immediately. Lundy and I called each other immediately. He said, there are tapes. Trump knows there are tapes.
Oh,
why
yeah.
else would you say that? So it's just out of control.
How you doing, Eric?
I
yeah.
This has to be over.
Eric,
I mean, he's completely imploding. And, what? You know, Hillary's effectively the next president.
Eric, what political party are you going to be part of on November 9th?
I said off the air, we don't have to discuss, we don't have to lay claim to any parties. I think that the conversation
the rebuilding of the Republican Party.
The rebuilding?
The new Republican Party.
Well, just to put this in context.
And I'm not laughing at your pain, Eric.
I appreciate
because
that.
I think it's all of our pain.
I'm not laughing at your pain. I'm laughing at other Republicans' pain, like Chris Roebling, my other half of Touche.
Oh, there you go.
Well, some of these folks, though, you know, who decided over the weekend that they couldn't support Trump because of what happened on the bus with Billy Bush.
Right.
Oh, so that's...
That was a deal breaker.
That tipped it over the edge. So nothing before?
Yes,
now?
Mocking an individual with a disability. Come on, grow a tough skin, is what we were told.
This guy is a hot mess.
Well,
it's a disaster.
To set the stage before the events, really, of the last 8 hours, last week, Trump, in an average of polls, according to 538, the most reputable site that tracks all of the polls and makes predictions about who's going to do what and when and where in terms of the election, he was losing by 4.6 points. Hillary was up by 4.6 on October 5th. This morning, he was losing by 6.5. That's actually a huge move this late in a campaign. Keep in mind that in 2012, after October 1st, Barack Obama never led by more than 3. So that gives you the size of a 6.5 lead. And after today, and when polls come out that take the full effect of the debate and this past weekend, and now today, I think 6.5 will be in the rearview mirror. It's going to be much more.
Absolutely.
Than that.
And with those numbers, there's something else that happened today when the 538 site put that map up that said if only women voted, that he would win. She would win. I'm sorry, Hillary Clinton would win by an overwhelming number.
I believe all 50 states.
All 50 states. Right. And if only men voted, the majority would be for Trump. The majority
they would, but it was not overwhelming. If only men voted, he would get 330 electoral votes.
Yes, but she would get like 470.
Yes,
which I believe is all of them.
Well,
I don't know if you saw what is happening now is repeal the 19th Amendment is also a hashtag, and you know, yeah,
no,
yes, hashtag.
You
go ahead
be
and look.
Kidding me.
Go ahead and look. Hashtag repeal the 19th Amendment. Repeal 19th Amendment. So.
This headline in the LA Times now, right, is this new sex assault allegation against Trump. He was like an octopus.
He was like an octopus.
Yep. And people.
That was a woman on the plane who he lifted up the armrest. She was flying first class with him on a business trip. And this is in the late 70s or the early 80s?
It was, I think, 30 years ago, 34 years ago, something like that.
And what people
it
are
was
gonna...
long enough where he was old enough to know better. You don't what the hell?
All of
it
this
was before
the
it was before the Trump airline before Trump's plane. Yeah, it was when he was
still
flying.
He was flying commercial.
Commercial.
Yes, the company gave him one so he would stop molesting women on planes.
Apparently, that was it. Yeah, there would be no evidence anymore.
My personal bet for what I think will have most impact, while the New York Times was the first big story tonight, and then it was an avalanche. Really is the People magazine story written by Natasha Stoyanov, a reporter who it was her beat to cover Donald and Melania Trump. She wrote dozens of articles about them for People, cover stories, and she tells a very compelling firsthand story of being at Mar-a-Lago. She was interviewing Donald and Melania. Melania excused herself and left the room for a few minutes, and Donald said, "Hey, I'd like to show you another room." And they walked into a room, and she turned around, and Trump pinned her against the wall, and she said, "His tongue was in my mouth." She said it was extraordinary. It's a very compelling article. And it's women read this. So forget about what men think, because men are very skeptical about everything when it comes to this stuff. They don't want to disabuse themselves
of women,
Donald.
Not women all men. Women are skeptical, too. Look, I told a very... uncomfortable story on the air Friday night that I then posted with the audio and just a short description. I wanted to make a bigger essay, but as I was trying to write it, I found it very difficult. But having the phrase that he used on that bus, you know, for many women, believe it or not, is very specific and was activating for survivors of sexual assault. And when I posted that, the things that ended up on my Facebook page, on the Patty V Show page, a lot of them I removed, but you can look at least one from a woman named Marika who calls calls me an effing C word and all these like really awful, ugly things that I left there so that people would know why we were responding the way we did. Dr. Charles Turk, who is a regular on the show, responded, and I am deleting and banning a lot of that because there are other survivors who are either posting their own stories or identifying with it, and I don't want them to see all the vile things. You can find that anywhere. My fan page is dedicated to being a place where people can go, and look, you can attack me and that's fine. You can have say your piece, but I probably will delete it because it's you misunderstand fan and like page. So it was, yes, women are going to respond very directly, but the people who don't believe it or get angry about it, I think people are getting angry because this is threatening to them. What they believed, what they wanted, the possibilities that they were imagining with not either not having Hillary or perhaps having this candidate who said all the things the way they did. It's very threatening because people perceive their opinion as identity and they're lashing out in very ugly ways. It's disappointing. And saddening.
Look, every presidential candidate is a vessel.
Right.
He's a vessel into which we pour our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations for the United States. And Donald Trump has, for better and mostly worse, in my opinion, tapped into this core of people who apparently in their everyday lives were saying really horrible, heinous things. Right. And
the basket,
whether it's racial or other natures. And Donald Trump comes out and he says these things in public and they're like, yeah, that's it. That's
They've
what
been
I've been saying.
Say
that's
it.
Why
right.
David Duke is like doubling right. down on Donald Trump.
Right.
He's the one guy who will never.
I want to continue this conversation. And by the way, we always invite you to join us. I know that people have a lot of things to say. And if you are angry, that's fine, too. We do want to hear from you. If you're frustrated or even angry at us, I will listen. And while on my fan page, I may delete and remove. The truth of the matter is that, somebody said, wasn't it disappointing or wasn't it frightening to put that up there and see really ugly things? Let me tell you something. And people have said, toughen up, buttercup. Well, you know what? Surviving that is harder than the words you have to say to me. So, that's fine. If you want to vent on me or other women who are survivors and call us wusses and other things, that's fine. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, late on this Wednesday night, October 12th, joined by Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski, and Eric Elk. They are our political analysts, our commentators tonight on everything that is going on in the campaign. We were talking about, Dave and Ken have been filling us in on how many women are coming forward. Eric, I want to talk to Lynn in a moment, but do you have any thoughts on...
I feel like this is going to be like Tiger Woods all over.
With all the women coming in, we're going to...
The floodgates are open and, the his poll numbers are in a death spiral, and it'll be interesting to see what his numbers are like by the end of the week. And I'm not trying to make light of it or joke about it, but I mean, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg.
No question. This is the tip of the iceberg. And this was, I have to tell you, I made a lot of predictions in 2016 about the presidential race, and most of my predictions, I'm happy to say, have been right. And I'm still sticking with my Clinton by 12 prediction, which I've made all year long that people have mocked me for. But the easiest prediction I have made the entire year was Sunday night when Donald Trump said, no, it was just words. I said, the women are going to come out of the woodwork to call him a liar. It's going to happen by Tuesday, Wednesday latest.
Well, Dave and I have had a lot of experience in this. Mm-hmm. And when you have
Easy how you describe that there, Miguelo.
We have a lot of experience with candidates making definitive statements which backfire. And as soon as I saw that, I looked to my wife and I said, oh, boy, look out.
Thanks.
You don't say that.
Well, by the way, we have a text coming in from the 606, total bull scat. I'm going to go with bull scat, BS, so that works for BS. Liar, I'm not sure who's that.
Who's a liar?
I don't know. It's non-descriptive.
Liar?
We can you can text us again
can
if you want to clarify.
Please?
708, I don't understand how women could vote for Hillary Clinton after what she let Bill Clinton do to her. Okay. Lynn wants to join the conversation and wanted to ask us a question. Lynn, how are you doing tonight?
I'm very good, Patty. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I was just wondering if these women that have started, coming forward now, did they ever say anything when this first happened?
It's a great question.
It is.
And in fact, the New York Times story and the People story and I think the other two, In every single case, the women at the time talked to their boyfriends or their friends or multiple friends, and they were beside themselves because they didn't know what to do because Donald Trump was such a powerful person.
Right.
They felt they had no ability. The 22-year-old woman in the New York Times story said, you know, she worked in the Trump Tower.
Mm-hmm.
She worked as a secretary. And when this happened, she literally didn't know how to handle it because this was Mr. Trump, as in Trump Tower.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
She's a little old secretary. Nobody's going to believe her.
Right. Well, right. That's what I was figuring. But I hope that they all come out because I can't believe what this man is coming up with. It's unbelievable. I mean, he scares me to death. And I just wanted to just ask that question. I hope that more women do come out and, you know, tell their stories because this is very scary.
I think that, and for people who want to, I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of doubters. I think that there is coverage and confidence in this situation where there are other people where, you know, and he's revealed himself.
Well, he said, I mean, here's the thing about this story that makes it different than most other allegations of this kind. Donald Trump spent 10 years on Howard Stern basically making admissions against interest. He mm-hmm. said he did this kind of thing. He said on the Howard Stern show that one of the benefits from being, and he said it was funny. He said the benefit from being the owner of the Miss Universe pageant is I get to go into the women's dressing room and look at all these amazing looking women naked. And then it turns out today he did it at the Miss Teen USA with women as young girls as young as 15.
Oh, my. Oh, God. He's awful. I just look at him and I just want to scream. He just scares me to death. He really does. Well, thank you so much for answering my question.
Of course. And Lynn, we're going to send you a Lou Malnati's gift card because I know you've been holding on for quite a while.
Thank you so much. That was very, very nice, and I appreciate it. But I love your show, and I will continue to listen. And thanks, and have a great evening, everybody.
And Lynn, to quote Barack Obama, don't scream, just vote.
I intend to.
There you go.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. There's an event coming up I saw on the 15th where it's like the 19th Amendment kind of an event where they're trying to get as many women to come in and early vote on Saturday, I think. I'll look up the event, but I saw it on Senator Biss's Facebook page about, you know, it's kind of a all-day event where they're all going to march to one location to vote together.
Well,
and after repeal the 19th, I think there are going to be even more women showing up on Saturday.
Well, and that's the thing. What Trump is doing, well, what Trump did when he lied about this is he is activating women all over this country. The gender gap is going to be bigger than ever in history. And this is going to be an amazing thing. And frankly, men mm-hmm. should have the same reaction.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's just women. I mean, I looking at this, you know, my whole concern was, like I said earlier, why are people getting upset now? Where have they been? And what about the evangelicals? How can they still stand with him?
How could they have ever stood with him? I never understood it.
Well, there's a woman on Twitter. Her name is Mary Beth Glenn. Have you followed these tweets? She's a Republican, and she's basically said that she's done. Her tweets have gone viral. You can find her on Twitter. It's at MB Glenn. Even Mark Ruffalo retweeted. Not that that's, you know, somehow a stamp of you know, validity or approval or whatever, but it's kind of, she was very excited to wake up and see that her tweets had been being retweeted so many times that it had reached Mark Ruffalo. But she has been a lifelong Republican, and she's basically said that she's done. I had to scroll back and find but she did like one of those rants where there are 12 tweets, and the essence of it is, I defended the Republican Party when everyone called us sexist and racist, and I'm done because you've proven otherwise.
Well, that's because so many of these folks are, these elected officials are putting party ahead of country. I mean, not only is Trump, you know, going to take down our party or the party that I've been a part of, or he's definitely going to hurt the country. I mean,
he's already
even losing. I mean,
by the way, I think this is for everybody, Democrats and Republicans. I think this is damaging for all of us. And,
yes.
And not just because now we know where all the racists and sexists and homophobes are, because we do. You're all on Facebook, and I have a list of the ones that I've deleted and banned. But I mean, there was a great meme about, I want to go back to when the racists were afraid. you know, to when they didn't say things like, well, at least we're not lynching anymore. At least we're not, you know, what are you talking about? This is not the standard by which we should be living. At least we're not creating violence. Only you are.
Well, I have a theory.
Oh,
and
boy.
I think I'm right on this. I'm curious to get everybody's reaction and the listener's reaction. I don't think Donald Trump really cares about what women think about him right now.
Oh, no. Or minorities or the gay population.
I think this weekend he made a calculation, and you could see it in the debate, and you could see it on what he has done through his tweets and on the stump the last 2.5 days. His calculation is, I now have to do what's best for Donald Trump. If I somehow win the presidency by some miracle, fantastic. But right now, I've got to preserve my future. Therefore, I need to make sure that my 35%, the folks that put me in this position, love me and are incredibly loyal.
Yeah, it's a lot of money there.
So the debate he changed and the stuff he's been saying on the campaign trail, he brought into the debate for the first time. And then moving forward, starting Monday, he started talking about the election is rigged. That's to prepare his folks for a loss, but it's also to prepare them to stay loyal to him.
Right.
Because when this is over, Donald Trump and Roger Ailes are going to start a new television network that's going to rival Fox, CNBC, CNN. And that's the base, those 35%. It's going to be and it leaves the Republican Party in shambles. It hurts our democracy. It hurts the next president. It's done damage all over the place.
We have a listener that wants to join the conversation. Craig, do you think it's better to let him calm down on hold or Craig? Our listener Craig, we're gonna take a moment, and we are gonna take your call right away when I come back from the break. We do want to hear from you, and I said this earlier. We welcome all calls from all points of view, and if you're frustrated or you're confused or anything, in whatever emotion you're feeling right now, because I think there's a lot of really high stakes here, and so people are reacting that way. 312-981-7200. Craig, our listener, we will come to you when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me are Dave Lundy, who is the president of Aileron. Tell us about Aileron before. What is Aileron?
Aileron is a public relations and public affairs consulting firm. We do a lot of work in the technology community. We do a lot of work with clean tech, energy, other types of businesses.
And the website is aileron.com?
Aileron Inc.
Inc. I've heard it both ways.
A-I-L-E-R-O-N Inc. INC.com.
I finally get the name pronounced correctly.
You nailed it, Maddie.
And then I can't get the website, Inc.com. We also have Ken Jakubowski, who is a political strategist. Are you strategist, expert? What do you prefer? Guy who watches debates in the dark by himself.
Either's fine. Mostly I spend time in crisis communications.
Crisis communications, which, I think we're swirling around that a lot. Eric Elk, also political strategist. Yes, is that the best way to, what would you like to?
Absolutely. I have a firm, Fulcrum, Illinois.
Fulcrum, Illinois. Excellent. And we have Craig again. I'm so glad that you called. I know that this is frustrating for a lot of people, so please feel that this is a place you can vent. Hi, Craig. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm done with the Trump bashing and just all completely Trump bashing.
Okay.
I get it. But
right.
Where were these women? And this is awful. If everything, all the allegations that have come true are true, and that's a big if they're true, it's awful. But where were these women? How are they empowered now, and they weren't empowered then?
Again,
I don't get that. How is he? You come on here and you say, "Oh, he's in a death spiral. He's doing this. He's doing that." I get that, but you don't. In a political election, how do we not know that your the comments that you guys make and the things that you guys say are just not politically motivated?
Well, by the way, David, I'm so sorry. I forgot you wanted to get to Craig. And this is something we talked about off the air, which is that the audio and the video, there is something very activating about that. And then when he was in the debate saying, "I've never treated women that way." And I believe that Ken was mentioning off the air that one of the women
in the New York Times story, there are two women that came out. One contacted the New York Times in May. The other contacted the New York Times on Monday. And the reason why she did it on Monday was after hearing the Trump talk on the tape and the videotape, and then seeing him in the debate deny that it had ever happened again. In fact, she said to the New York Times, she said, "When I heard him say that in the debate, I wanted to punch the television." And she decided she was going to tell her story. So, I don't know about
that.
Does
that make it true?
We don't know.
That's what I mean. If it was true, that that's fine. But it's, you don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, Craig, but hang on a second.
Says, oh, I just got mad at the TV and I want to punch it.
Hang on a second, Craig, because I mean, I think this is really important. First of all, we have to understand the position of a lot of these women vis-a-vis Trump. These are people in positions of very differential power. Trump has power. So, and I know people who've been victims of various kinds of sexual assault of this nature, and they are not ready to just come forward. First of all, they're traumatized. But in every one of these cases, Craig, every single one, they talk to friends, they talk to boyfriends, they talk to others at the time it happened, and they said, I don't know what to do. This is Donald Trump. I can't approach Donald Trump. I don't even know what to say about this, but this happened to me and I'm traumatized. So, and you got to think about what is the consequence to these women for coming forward now. They're not going to be making money. There's no financial benefit. These women are going to be harassed and ostracized, and social media is going to come down on them like giant bricks. It just, and right now we're at 5, and Aaron Burnett's got a friend that's number 6. And I promise you, Craig, and I'm sorry, but based on what Donald Trump did at that debate on Sunday, you're going to have probably a dozen or more coming out.
And it's hard to say no to, you know, you don't believe someone who makes an allegation like this, given how difficult it is. And like, as Dave said, given all of what's going to come down on them now. We don't know.
Yeah, and why do we have to put the victims on trial?
Every time. 312-981-7200. Thank you so much for calling, Craig. I have to take a break here, and we will get to all of the calls as we continue this conversation with our guests in studio, Dave Lundy, Ken Jacobowski, and Eric Elk. I've said we were talking about the campaign, but obviously we were talking about a lot of the breaking news today. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. There is a lot of news coming out today about Donald Trump's past and his behavior, things that he denied already over the weekend. And we are talking about that and the campaigns in general. Dave Lundy, Ken Jacobowski, and Eric Elk join me in studio. Before we get to Curtis and Jim, I know Dave wanted to make sure he covered something from earlier.
Just two real quick points. Number one, back to Craig, the previous caller, who's raising the question why women are coming out now.
Yes. But
I think you need to listen to Donald Trump's own words on the bus tape. Because what all these women are describing is exactly what Donald Trump said was his M.O.
Right.
So he just sees a pretty woman, he likes him, he lays it on him.
You go ahead.
So that was number one. Number two, I just want to go back to a point that Ken made in the last hour about Trump's brand, or about Trump and the Trump network.
Right.
So people are talking about
this.
Here's the reason this is important. Trump's brand is being decimated right now. It is being absolutely decimated. I mean, I don't know a single Democrat who's going to set foot in a Trump property.
But he doesn't need Democrats. If what Ken's talking about is the 30, they love that. They love that women are upset. They love that people feel victimized. That 35% thinks that they're wusses and should get toughen up, buttercups.
This is my point, because the Trump brand historically was not a partisan brand, right? I mean, Trump was theoretically a Democrat.
It's a new brand.
This is a new Trump brand and a new Trump product, because the old Trump brand ain't going to be producing the dollars the way it used to.
Right.
So he needs a new thing. And the Trump network is the new thing.
Yeah.
And he's going to make, by the way, far more money on that than he ever made in the property.
Billions off of that. He's very, very – first thing I thought –
Well, maybe he can form that sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
The ballots are already out. People, early voting has started. Jim wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Jim, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Very well. What did you want to tell us?
Well, I mean, no offense here, but obviously you guys are very pro-Democrat. That's fine. Most everybody aligns with one side
actually,
or another.
One second, Jim. Eric, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I am not a Democrat.
Okay.
But no, that's because I put country ahead of party.
Okay, well, I mean, if you're going to vote for Hillary, I don't really think you can say that.
He hasn't said that. He has not said not one person has said anything about voting for Hillary.
I'm voting for Hillary.
Projecting people to vote for Hillary by knocking Trump down so far that they really have no choice
other than Trump.
Jim, understand this. We are not.
One second,
here.
Jim. Go ahead. One second, Ken, and then Ken, then Jim. Yes.
Okay. We're not here to vouch for or to. For the truth of any of these allegations. It's just out there. Our assessment
is based... honest with you. I agree that he probably is guilty of many of these allegations. There's just too many of them to be ignored.
Okay.
So how does that make you feel?
Well, it troubles me that really neither one of these candidates is very good. But as bad as Trump is, in my opinion, he is worlds better than Hillary Clinton. Okay, so I'd rather not vote for either one. I actually think the best person out of all four people on the ticket is Pence. But you can't just vote for Pence.
Right.
So
you can't.
But
I don't...
the point I really wanted to make was the way you said about how Trump even walked in on the teen Miss Universe thing. You said it was such, moral shock. But you don't mind the Democrats allowing 40-year-old grown men to watch 7- and 8-year-old little girls change into their swimsuits under the guise that they're transgenders.
When was this? Where does that happen?
It's going to happen. It can't be avoided. There's no proof that there's a transgender. You just have to say you're one. There's no test for it. If I say I'm transgender and you say I'm not, you're violating my civil rights.
What do you look like there, Jim? Because unless you look like a woman or somebody who's trying to be a woman.
You don't think that somebody who wants to see a young kid change would put on some women's makeup if that would make that happen for them? I mean, you have to understand that it's not just going to be people who really might be transgender taking advantage of that policy and how our federal government came down on North Carolina for trying to be moral.
Okay, so Dave, this is what I was talking about earlier. The things that people are getting angry and frustrated over are the things that they imagine to be threatened. So this is something, this is one of those moments where I'm hearing Jim worry abstractly about something that has not happened.
Some hypotheticals.
Hypotheticals, as opposed to reports that women have actually happened. So this is where we are, is that people are now imagining.
And I can't say... I mean, I understand where Jim's coming from. I mean, as a father of a 6.5-year-old, I certainly, 6.5-year-old girl, I certainly think about a lot of issues now differently than I did before. And so I understand where he's coming from, and I can't say that's a bad, that's the way he feels. And it is what it is. I mean, it makes it very tough for people in public policy.
Eric, did you want to say something? I know that...
And he said he felt the best candidate is Pence. And
speaking of transgender bathroom issues.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So the thing I find interesting is Pence is, I'm a big Christian. I'm a big conservative.
Right.
I'm a Republican. If you're a Christian conservative, how can you stay and stand next to this guy the more women that are coming out?
It defies logic.
Well, that was interesting on Friday night that he said that he was very upset, that his wife was angry. That was an interesting moment, too, was imagining Pence's wife being mad at him.
Pence was sitting there trying to do the calculations of, okay, how can I dance on the head of this pin? I'm not right sure where it's going to go yet.
Right, because he positioned himself pretty well last Monday for 2020. But if he's now attached to this, as many Republicans are, by the way, again, our last caller was saying that we were all very pro-Hillary. I think this is a very disappointing time in our history. I am not, this is something that I'm frustrated with, that it's gotten this far, that there are people who are attacking each other now. This is really bringing out the ugliest in all of us. And that's a frightening thing, I think. And Curtis, we want to take your call as well. Hey, Curtis, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love your show.
Oh, thank you.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs!
Go Cubs!
But first of all, let me say I'm almost 50 years old, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a registered voter. And up to this election, I've always had a pretty clear choice on who I wanted to vote for. This election... and I work second shift, so I'm just now hearing the news about Trump's latest allegations, but the allegations against Trump. And
right.
It saddens me even further because this is our choices. This is the best that we're offered. It's frustrating. And I don't know that I'm trying to actually hammer a point home here. I'm just trying to see if... this is the feeling that other people have.
Oh, no doubt. I think a lot of people are. This has become an election season of vote for the person you hate less.
Well, and typical, look, it's common in American elections that we say, well, we're voting for the lesser of the two evils. But starting early this year, I'm like, this is going to be the worst lesser of evils election in our history.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, Curtis, just so I can get a sense of where you're coming from, would you normally vote for the Republican candidate for president? I'm just trying to see which way this is leaning for you.
Well,
If you're not comfortable with that, you don't have to either, by the way.
No, that's fine. Historically, I've been Democrat because I did work union for a long time. And as a union member, they encourage you, you know, be Democratic vote for the job. And I had done that for a long time. But then, you know, as time goes on, you choose what you want out of a president, not necessarily a party. And this time, I feel like I'm an artist with a paintbrush and no paint. I can't express myself, and it's very sad for me to say that I will not vote in this election, and I just hope that our judicial system doesn't suffer.
Well, I hope you do vote, and maybe you can rationalize it the way I am, because I'm a Democrat, no question. I'm not a big fan of Hillary Clinton at all.
And Ken gave money to Bernie.
Yes,
a lot of it.
I helped Bernie Sanders out a lot, and I it's been tough. This is a very tough election for me, but I focus on country, and I as opposed to party. And there is no doubt that voting against, in the most resounding way possible, voting against Donald Trump sends a signal not only to people in the States, but really around the world, that this is not us. These are not our values. So I feel by voting for Hillary, you're making a statement that the world can interpret as to what America's values actually are. And so the bigger the margin, the better it is, I think, for us in terms of our moral standing in the world. Because they're all watching this thinking we're nuts. They can't understand what's happening.
I think an important thing, though, too, is to make sure you do vote. You know, I think it's important for your U.S. Senate race that we have going on in Illinois, for, you know, wherever you live.
I believe Curtis is in Indiana.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a hot Senate race in Indiana as well. And your House member. I think that, you know, those two positions especially really help set policy, domestic policy. And I think that you need to be engaged at least at that level.
It's tough, but you have to remember every 4 years we have a political revolution in the United States without firing a shot. And there are people right now in countries around the world in jail being tortured because they want to vote. They want the right to vote. They want the freedom of expression. And we have it, and we treat it cavalierly. I'm not saying you're doing that, but try to rationalize it somehow. Send the world a message in whatever way you decide you want to go. But it's just important to participate in the process. It's really important.
I understand your point and the right to vote, and that's a wonderful thing we have. It's just, this is the first year I've ever experienced this kind of emotion about an election that I feel that I can't lay my head down at night and say, I helped put that person in office.
Well, I would say,
can you afford not to?
Yeah, I mean, the
it's a very tough choice. I'm having a battle in my head.
and I think that frankly, I think everybody understands this. There are a lot of people who don't like Hillary Clinton. I'm okay with Hillary, and I am a supporter of hers. But I get that. But I think that one thing you want to look at, there are newspapers and magazines and Republican officials all over this country who have never supported a Democrat. Foreign Policy magazine has never endorsed a candidate in its history, but they said Donald Trump is a threat to the world, to the globe, if he is president. So have Republican papers in Arizona and Florida and, I mean, all over this country. And there are literally hundreds and hundreds of Republicans, almost the entire Republican foreign policy establishment, as well as the Democratic foreign policy establishment, are saying the fate of the world is at stake here. And so But again, I get it. I've told the story on the show in 1998. I wrestled with voting for George Ryan versus Glenn Pritchard in Illinois, and I skipped that race. First time in my life.
I skipped it. Did you vote for the rest of the ticket?
Oh yeah, I voted. I was in the voting booth wrestling over what to do.
But you didn't pick governor?
I could not pick governor because I knew George Ryan was a crook, mm-hmm. and I knew Glenn Pritchard was a nut job.
And I would say, Curtis, I would not encourage this to everybody, but if ultimately the thing that gets you in the booth is to go, I'm just going to leave the top of the ticket blank.
Then leave it blank.
And you can write somebody in. My mother, I have this conversation, Curtis, with my mother twice a week. She's not voting. She said, I will never, ever vote for Hillary Clinton. And she said, Donald Trump is a nut job. So she said, I'm not going to vote. And then she thought she should vote for you. No, she decided she's going to write in Ronald Reagan.
There you go.
Okay.
And she's comfortable with that.
Well, Nancy Reagan had some psychics that might have been able to make that work. Thank you so much, Curtis, for joining us. And we're going to take David's call when we come back after this on 720 WGN.
Can we make it to Mars by 2030? Why is NASA setting fires in space? And what exactly is space brain? I welcome space expert Rod Pyle for the answers at 2:15. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick D on 720 WGN.
Toyland at Blaine's Farm and Fleet opens Saturday, October 15th at 7 a.m., where you can give a little and get a lot with great low prices on thousands of toys, like a Melissa and Doug play table with storage drawer for $99.99. Plus, get a 132-piece Melissa and Doug train set free with table purchase, a $79.99 value. Get an Air Bandits radio-controlled quadcopter with removable camera and 2-gigabyte micro SD card. It includes bright LED lights for night flying. Regularly $59.89, it's only $29.99. And you can give a little and get a lot when you start getting into the Christmas spirit by helping less fortunate children in our community with Blaine's Kids Helping Kids program. Donate new, unwrapped toys at our store, and Blaine's Farm and Fleet will match them up to $200,000 in toys across all of our Farm and Fleet locations. Amazing prices on this season's hottest toys, donating hundreds of toys to local charities. When you give a little, you get a lot. This Christmas season at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Toyland opens Saturday at 7 a.m.
We can beat them all.
Service to a green tea.
Our green tea windows are most energy efficient. Increase the beauty and value of your home with our exceptional, energy-efficient, EPA-certified windows. They're made here in the U.S. with a lifetime warranty, and our installers have a minimum 7 years' experience. And listen to this. Our windows have the newest technology, self-cleaning glass. Yes, our special glass actually cleans itself. Dirt, dust, and water just rolls right off.
Service to a green tea.
There are so many deals out there for windows, but green tea can beat them all. Yes, green tea can beat any window deal and save you a lot of money. Plus, 0% financing is available. Call us now for details and a free estimate. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green tea services. Service to a
green tea.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA. Or greenteaservices.com.
Join Chicago Tribune in publicly recognizing the most dynamic and supportive companies in Chicagoland at the 7th Annual Top Workplaces event, November 10th at Soldier Field. Visit topworkplaceschicago.com for tickets. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me are political experts Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski, and Eric Elk. And I want to read a couple of our texts as well. We have from the 502, who could not hold on. What does Trump plan to do with the leftover money? I never understand this part of campaigning.
Well, he can't just convert it for himself, although he's demonstrated he can convert it for his properties and has.
Right, where he uses his office space and he pays rent to himself, but so he jacks up the rent.
Correct. And Mar-a-Lago and. Yeah, yes. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you're going to find probably 20% of campaign spending wound up going to Trump properties and corporations.
There you go. From the 563, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It's already out there. Damage is done. I think that's... Yeah, and as it starts to kind of compound, there does seem to be an avalanche.
People forget quickly. I mean, this is going to keep going until Election Day, mm-hmm. and it, needs to. I mean, people are voting now. Mm-hmm. So between now and Election Day, probably a third to 40% of the electorate in key states are going to vote. But then most people are voting on Election Day.
Right.
They always do.
And I think it's the combination of the tape and the way Trump answered the questions from Anderson Cooper about the tape.
Right.
He looked so uncomfortable. And people saw through that. If you look at some of the focus groups and their responses, they didn't get a good feeling, energy feeling from Donald Trump. He was very uncomfortable. And so you put that together and then all these allegations, and it gives credence to the allegations.
Right.
And there's only 4 weeks left. There's not a lot of time to try to beat them back.
Especially if there's more. And that's, by the way, what a weird turn of phrase. Go ahead, Eric.
No, you know,
Speaker Hastert?
Speaker Ryan.
Oh, let's not even go in that direction of,
Speaker Ryan, did a call today with supporters, donors, basically outlining the fact that Trump is down, 10 points plus. And at this point in 2008, McCain was only down 7 points or thereabouts, and they lost 20 seats in the House.
Right.
So I think folks are starting to get a little worried.
Well, the reason I stood up and you all got a little bit, you mentioned Dennis Hastert, and I, our next caller and a couple of our callers have asked about, where were these people years ago? But here's the thing. No, but here's something that's very important. Here's a man who was one of the most powerful people in the country, and we know that he molested young boys. And nobody said anything, and he got away with it, and would have if this blackmail case hadn't come up, if he hadn't been removing money. So if people want to say, where were these women before? Every time this happens, we go, where were they before? Well, nobody said anything. And these young boys, there was a man who committed suicide.
Right.
How many times does it have to happen where you go, instead of getting mad at the people who say I've been hurt, is just
victims.
Go listen to them. Listen to them. And David wants to bring up another situation, which I think was very similar, where people started coming out and everyone accused the women of lying or making it up. David, what did you want to say?
I just wanted to say that the same thing happened with Bill Cosby.
Right.
One or two women had the courage to stand forward and bring this to light, and how many more came?
Right.
How many more will come for Donald Trump?
And remember how they were attacked viciously.
Yeah.
Right.
Made fun of. Social media was brutal on them. And how many more came after that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what the number is? I mean,
it's the dozens.
Many. I was thinking like upwards of 90 or something. I mean, it's some enormous number.
Yeah. And by the way, David, to your point, too, is that that means that there are people who never are going to come forward because they're embarrassed and it's painful and they don't want to relive it again.
Well, and they see what's happening to the folks who've come forward
early.
You know, these first one, two, now six, and how
and
they're
it
being...
was 30 years ago.
Right. And it was 30 years ago. Right. David, thank you so much for joining the conversation and for holding on so long. Have a great night, okay?
Love your show.
Oh, thank you, David. Appreciate it. More after this. I want to ask our callers, Fred and Chip, to hold on because we do appreciate you joining us. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We've been hanging out with Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski, and Eric Elkin. Joining us now is Sydney Adeniyi. Let me see which microphone I have you on. Let's see. How's that one sound?
Hey.
Oh, that sounds really...
Can you hear me?
Okay. Craig, I think they put a new microphone in here. Do you
see
that?
That's a nice microphone.
It's a brand new microphone.
It's fancy.
Really, I know. We should take that for the clubs. Don't tell anybody.
Ooh.
Sydney Adeniyi is performing at the Laugh Factory tomorrow night and next week. Go to laughfactory.com for all showtime information. And they can follow you on Twitter?
Yep. Sydney Adeniyi on Twitter.
You got to tell people how to spell Adeniyi.
Adeniyi. And that's Sydney, Sydeney.
I'm so glad I've learned how to say your name correctly, right? Between Sydney Adeniyi.
Between doing a couple shows and traveling.
getting it wrong so many, very many times. And Ken Jakubowski, that's a name that I've practiced. I have to spell it phonetically.
Jakubowski?
Jakubowski.
Oh, Jakubowski.
His first name is Ken.
But
the way I pronounce it makes it sound like your first name is Jay, doesn't it? A little bit.
I'm trying to focus on the Jakubowski.
Jakubowski.
Yeah.
See?
Well, sometimes when I'm on the phone with, one of those, you have to spell your name out for a reservation or something, and I go, it's Jakubowski. And they'll say, oh, okay, how do you spell Kabowski? I'm like, no. The last name, let me walk you through it. Don't jump ahead of me.
Yeah.
Go slow. J-I, spell it out. Oh.
Now, I get, is it Patty with an I all the time or with a Y? Eric, do people bother asking you if it's with a K or a C?
They assume
that it's a K?
Yes.
Okay. I did too.
I have the same issue with Dave.
Dave.
Oh, yeah,
it's brutal.
Dave. Oh my gosh, you must have the hardest time with Dave.
Killer.
Lundy. Here's some great names: Fred, Chip, and Sue, who've all hung on the line for quite a bit of time. So let me take Chip first. Hey, Chip, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, not bad, guys. I recently moved to Florida from just outside Chicago, and I've now been to. I went to a Trump rally today, which was off the hook. I've been to a Hillary rally and a Pence rally. And if you look at the news, you don't see the reality of what's going on here. When I went to the Pence rally, there was a couple thousand people at a place in the Villages, and everybody sort of orderly walked in. You go through Secret Service, and you go have a seat. Same exact thing at the Hillary rally. And everybody just, you know, Secret Service, walk in. The Trump rally, I had to park 2 miles away. And people were parking in yards, permission or not. The parking lot where the rally was totally full. I mean, it was, there was 4,000 people in the center and probably another 20,000 outside, including some lunatics. There was a guy, he had a jail cell built on the back of his truck, and Hillary was in it. I mean, ooh, he took a lot of effort to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Someone's got to have a tool shed.
You
got to
work hard for that. That's
yeah, like
that's
the manager from the department store.
Yeah,
that's wild. Well, but when you say that,
of protesters at Hillary,
right?
And the only protesters at Trump were Hare Krishna people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seriously.
Well,
I kind of love that. I kind of love it.
I guess everybody wants to come out to see the train wreck.
Well, the size of crowds.
It was totally orderly. I mean, the line was, as measured, almost 2.5 miles long.
Oh, my God.
Well, the size of
people.
The size of crowds has deluded many a politician into thinking that he has a lot more support than he actually does.
Yeah.
And that's something that us guys in campaigns learn that the hard way.
Yard signs. Every politician loves to see the yard signs. Oh, my God, I'm going to win. I got all these yard signs. And you get 5%.
They don't vote.
I got to tell you, I was at some awesome, awesome rallies for Walter Mondale.
Oh, I was going to mention Mondale.
He had huge
crowds. He drew mammoth crowds, just like kind of like what you're describing for Trump. Huge crowds.
What?
I think these are a little bigger.
For the guy.
Mondale had huge rallies?
Huge. Extraordinary rallies.
There was a huge rally in Kansas City for Walter Mondale.
I don't understand what's happening right
now. And I'm not dismissing the Trump phenomenon. There's clearly, he has tapped into something. There's an energy there. You're describing it, Chip. You're talking about all these people that are coming and they're intense and they're loving this guy and they're viewing this guy as a god. And maybe that's why none of these allegations are going to dissuade them from voting for the guy.
What do you think about that, Chip?
Well, I doubt that. You know, the one really weird thing that I didn't see on the news, there was an airplane flying over, trailing like at the beach. They had some website on the banner behind the airplane. And it did like a loop, and next thing we knew, there were F-16s next to the thing, letting him know, hey, guess what? You don't get to fly here. And I'm amazed that hasn't hit the news.
Huh. Bizarre.
Well, it's probably, it's controlled airspace, so it's...
They shut down the airspace, hands down.
Yeah.
But, like, if that would have happened at, like, a Hillary campaign, I guarantee that would have been on the news.
Well, Donald would have been going on a 20...
Some loony.
Donald would have been going on a 20-minute riff about how weak Hillary is, that she needed the F-16s to protect her.
And it would have made its way into an ad.
But to his to Chip's point here, Trump has thought all along, because he's getting huge crowds in California, Oregon, you know, every state, he's thinking he's going to win California. I mean, he's told people he's going to win California. There's no way in...
Exactly.
He is winning California.
Yeah, no, he's not.
He probably won't get more than 35%. Probably maybe 30. It's a destruction.
And he's definitely not winning Oregon.
Remember early on, he put money into hiring consultants in New York State because he thought he had a chance because it was his home. Yeah. And all of us who actually have done things in campaigns were just like laughing.
Right.
Like, and what schmuck? What can I say schmuck on the air? Yes. It's after midnight.
Yeah, so. It's a good word.
Yeah, I appreciate
what
schmuck? Appreciate asking permission.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. What
forgiveness.
Schmuck is taking the money for Trump in New York State to try to help him, quote, win. Dude.
I would totally take that money.
Hey, man. It's
Chip,
green and it's
green. Yeah, it's green.
Chip, I want to thank you so much. And I love that you're going to these rallies and letting us know what it's like there. Have a great night, okay?
Thank you, Chip.
Have a good night.
Thank you. And I want to take Fred's call as well. Hey, Fred, how are you doing?
Hey, Patty.
Hey.
I just want to say I'm a lifelong Republican, but I'm going to leave the presidential line blank this year.
Did you have somebody that you were gunning for, you like you really wanted to be on the top of the ticket, or were you kind of thinking Trump for a while and then got dissuaded?
He's made it obvious that he's a nutcase.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't. Usually for lower offices, I choose the person,
right.
But I've always kind of voted Republican for president. That's kind of a weird thing with me.
Okay,
but
I do the same.
Hillary Clinton. I just can't. There's no way I could vote for her.
Right.
So what? I'm just curious. Why? I mean, which aspect of Hillary? Because I know I've heard it all. So I'm just wondering which part of it is kind of telling you, no matter how bad Trump is, and knowing that one of these two people is going to be the next leader of the free world, which part about Hillary makes you kind of go, yeah, I can't do it?
Well, I think part of it is that she stayed with Bill.
Okay.
To me, that kind of shows that she was in it for the money and the political pull.
Mm.
And I've read some stories about her being the one who was the attack person for all the women who accused Bill of doing things.
Well, Fred, that's not hard to find. You can Google, because I know that one of the women that came forward and was at the debate, her name is Juanita, and she gave an interview. And I encourage everyone to go ahead and Google, because there is a documentary, and she explains how Hillary approached her in a kitchen during a fundraiser when they were campaigning for the governorship of Arkansas. At the time, Bill Clinton was the attorney general, and she said that she had been attacked at this – she was at a convention, and she, you know, had told some of her friends. By the way, she has also interviewed with the FBI. She's been, you know, in depositions before. So this is all.
And she has denied it under oath.
She denied under oath with the FBI and with other attorneys that it did not happen. But the bullying that people are talking about, that she, you know, because they turned it into the word bullying, Hillary came up to her and thanked her for the work she was doing, but pulled her in, you know, and smiled at her very coldly and said, "Remember, everything you do matters." So that's what Juanita has testified was how, and it has said in this documentary, that's how she was intimidated. And you can Google that.
Wasn't her kind of a 30-30 show where, I forget what his name was, he was talking to somebody on the phone about, if you say that, you're going to ruin your reputation with the Democratic Party and you'll never get anywhere again.
For Juanita,
I'm not sure which one it was.
But you can Google it. I mean, I would rather you Google it and listen to it yourself, but there is a documentary that Juanita participated in and explain exactly how Hillary approached her.
And I
encourage everyone to Google that.
And I can tell you, I had to refresh my memory. I was very active in all this in the 90s, and it's been so long. So I kind of went and did my own research on all four cases of the individuals that were at the debate on Sunday. And I found that in terms of actual evidence that Hillary played any role in threatening or intimidating or demeaning any of these folks, I came up with pretty close to zero evidence for that. It's all rumor, innuendo, and you know what that's like. Rumors suddenly becomes bigger fact. So clearly Bill was certainly not a saint. We can agree on that.
Let me just add this. If my wife knew I was doing the kind of things Bill was doing, I'd be out on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have children? If you don't mind me asking, do you have any children?
I have three children and six grandchildren.
Oh,
I'm an old man.
Because I've always suspected that certainly there was an element of the power aspect of this, why Hillary stayed with him. But I also suspected that she stayed with him because of Chelsea. We'll never know. It's her own personal private decision.
It's,
well,
it's...
I stayed with my former wife till my youngest child was 18, mm-hmm. and then I divorced her.
Well,
yeah, well, and that's the same, okay. same instance.
So that's very, kind of similar to, yeah. to Hillary. Different issues, but it's somewhat similar.
By the way, my parents meant to get a divorce, and they were just too tired.
I honestly, I think my parents hated each other forever, and they were just like, whatever, I hate you so much, I'm going to stay with you, because...
That's more punishment.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to deal with this.
Your parents are related to my parents.
I'm gonna make you as miserable as you can.
Exactly.
There you go.
That's fantastic.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
My husband and I always say, no one gets out of this marriage alive.
I think comedy is the best way to treat this election.
Oh my gosh, it's all comedy. They don't even need comics.
Sunday night, the debate.
Yeah.
Now, it was terrifying when we were watching it, but if you think about it, it was hysterical.
Oh,
it was
God.
So. Oh my God!
The four women in has a press conference, and then we find out the next day that he wanted to seat them where his family sat, so Bill would run into him and they could confront him.
Yeah,
he says he's going to jail her. I mean, it was incredible.
I got to tell you, Sunday night when I think, Ken, it may have been you who texted me and said, oh, my God, turn on CNN. and I turn it on and I see Juanita Broderick and Paula Jones. And, right. and I'm like, but what was the most amazing about that? Because if you saw the debate afterwards, you're like, oh, my God, is she going to be rattled? Is she going to be freaked out? What's going to happen? It was almost as if Donald Trump launched his nuclear weapons. He was like, boom, off go the missiles. He launched the nuclear weapons and Godzilla is still standing there just laughing at the nuclear weapons. Like, ah, ha, 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 nice try, Donald. Not that I mean to compare Hillary Clinton to Godzilla.
Go ahead, Fred.
I just can't wait till this election's over.
Oh, me too.
Oh,
me too.
God.
I think
yeah.
we can. I think yeah. all of us in this room.
Wait.
Yes. Go Cubs.
You know, sometimes when I hear conversations about it, I turn off the radio.
I know, yeah. I know, and I know we're having an extended conversation, but listeners are calling, and I want to make sure everyone's heard. Go ahead, Eric.
I wanted to go on for a little bit longer because SNL is so damn funny.
Yeah. There's so much material.
Well, oh my God, it's a hotbed. The Kellyanne Conway thing on Saturday night was hysterical.
Alec Baldwin.
Well, I felt sorry for them.
Michael Che? Oh, my gosh.
The tape came out late Friday.
Yeah.
Right. So they spent all Friday night. They had already rehearsed the show. They had done everything. They had a rewrite on the fly.
Yep.
I thought they did a really good job.
They did
all
a really nice
considered.
Job.
It was so...
Imagine what
sure
this
I
week is going to be like.
Yeah, Fred, we'll all be watching with you. And we look forward to hearing from you again. Okay. Please be sure to call. Appreciate it.
Love you, Patty.
Oh, appreciate you. Thank you so much. Have a good night, Fred. Love you too. Sue, please hold on the line. We're going to take a quick break and we will come to you right away because we will continue the conversation. And this is open to talking about Bill and Hillary and sharing your thoughts. And everybody, you know, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We scheduled this conversation to last until midnight, but I know that people get frustrated with listening to talk about trashing Trump, and that's really what people hear, and a lot of it is because, I'm sorry, but he makes the biggest news. So we are attempting to have a level-headed, congenial conversation. So I hope that everyone feels that this is a place where you can share your thoughts, your frustrations, your confusion, your anxiety. I think this is an anxious time. Joining me in studio are political experts Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski, and Eric Elk, and comedian. And I consider you to be an expert also on all things because you're an expert, political expert. Save Sydney Adeniyi, who is appearing at the Laugh Factory tomorrow night and next week. Go to laughfactory.com mm-hmm. for the calendar mm-hmm. and ticket information. One of the texts says, but you guys believe Hillary and Bill Clinton. And I know that's something that Sue wants to address as well. Hi, Sue. How are you doing tonight?
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you for holding on so long, first of all. Go ahead.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you for letting us share our thoughts. I think we really appreciate that. Some of the other shows on WGN Radio have turned to very one-sided as far as just Trump bashing, and I think that's turned off a lot of listeners, and I think we've just had a choice of just turning off the radio at that time. So it's unfortunate, but until after the election, I think the radios have just been turned off during those times. But I have never voted. I have never declared myself a Republican or Democrat. I just do a lot of research and decide which person I'm going to vote for. And I'm down in central Illinois, but the funniest thing is I'm a former Park Ridge person.
Oh. So
obviously, my allegiance should be towards Hillary. But the person before me was absolutely right in the sense that I think that it's amazing how the political powers to be have completely forgotten or not reported some of the past dirt that the Clintons have gotten themselves involved in. And I think that I guess just because I'm a little bit older, 70 plus, you know, Whitewater and the mysterious Vince Foster situation and Benghazi and some of the things a little bit more current, they have just basically paid themselves out of the ugly things that have happened with political clout. And that has just not come up. And, I mean, I realize I'm not a big Trump fan. I'm not at all. I mean, that's not the case at all. I would be the last one to have a Trump sign in my yard. But in the meantime, yes, he's certainly embarrassed himself and done some ridiculous things. But I've stayed at Trump Tower in Chicago. I stayed at Trump Tower a couple of other places. I stayed at one of his golf courses in Florida where my daughter lives. And one thing I think about him is that he's such an arrogant human being that I don't believe that anything that he's involved with, he would ever allow to fail. And I think that one of my son-in-laws is a president of a company. And I think that he's the one that put that thought in my head, is that Trump is a businessman and knows how to hire people, puts people in charge of things, and has five-star hotels, five-star golf courses, and knows how to put people in charge in his absence that just know how to run the show. And, you know, one person does not run a country. And one person does not run a hotel, five-star hotel, five-star golf courses, restaurants, you name it.
Right.
And again, there's such an arrogance about him that I just have a little bit of hope that this country could get on the right track, because it's been off the right track for a few years now, that the economy can turn around and he could be the person to select some of these people to get it on the right track.
Right.
And so, I choke on this statement that I plan on voting for Trump.
Okay. I think that Dave wanted to, before we go to a break, at least address some things that you unpacked there.
Trump Steaks, Trump University, Trump Airline, Trump Network, Trump Magazine, Trump Vodka, there were about Trump Mortgage. I forgot about Trump
Mortgage. You're talking about all the failures.
Trump the Game.
But
literally, there have been dozens of failures of Donald Trump businesses. And I don't mean little famers. I mean giant flameouts. The Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City just went bankrupt and closed for good yesterday. They laid off 3,000 people.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. It's autumnal. It's downright autumnal today. It was chilly. It's a little brisk now, which is fine. It's supposed to be. It's October. It's been a beautiful fall so far. I'll take it. Dave Wolfe.
Well, that's why I went on a ride last night during the Cubs game, because I knew it was like the last night ride I was going to be able to do without wearing my, you know, flannels and jammies and, you know, freezing my tushy
off. Do you wear long johns? Are you a long johns wearer?
Well, if it's cold and I'm going out,
get the silk ones. The silk ones are nice.
You know, you do what you got to do, man.
I'm serious. Silk long johns are nice.
Keep the boys warm and cozy.
That's for men too.
I wear long johns. I do not like hide it. As soon as it gets below 50, I put long johns on.
Have you tried silk?
I've tried silk.
Silk's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's comfortable. Warm, too. Yeah.
I like to eat long johns versus wear long johns.
Now, what you really have to do is when it gets really cold, you have to lather up first. I don't know if lather is the proper term.
Lather up.
Hey. Vaseline.
This is an extra step in the process right now.
Vaseline.
You mean slather. I think you meant slather up.
Lather.
Probably slather. Yeah,
or layer.
Or layer.
With Vaseline.
Vaseline.
Wait, I'm trying to figure out where the Vaseline.
Is that
another Trump story?
Most NFL.
I'm nervous about hearing that one.
Many NFL players, when you see these games where it's 10 below zero, they're covered with Vaseline first, then they start putting the layers on.
Really?
I don't know. They swear by it.
Okay.
It really keeps the heat of the body.
A bunch of Vicks would be nice, too.
I did not know that.
Like mentholate. I did not know.
See,
that.
The things I learned.
See?
Was just so weird in a locker room. Hey, man, you want to Vaseline me? I'll Vaseline you.
I don't know who does it. Yeah, I have no idea which of the training staff draws that straw.
Pro
I have
athletes
no idea.
Vaselining each other.
By the way, how hysterical is it that athletes are coming out and like, we don't talk like that.
Yeah, we don't. This is not locker room.
Locker room talk.
No, not locker room talk.
No.
Yeah, I had somebody tweet at me. They said, well, you've got to either be lying or gay. Because I said I don't talk like that. Nobody I know talks like that.
Oh my God! I can't imagine you. I can't imagine Dave Lundy saying that.
Yeah, well, I don't know how to take that, Patty. But what? You don't think I can get down and dirty, baby?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just start kissing. I don't even wait. Say it.
Well, Dr. Ben Carson today was being interviewed on CNN.
Oh my God!
And
Ben Carson.
He was explaining how this talk was when he was growing up, that boys and men would talk like this, and they talk about their sexual exploits. And the reporter, I forgot who it was, she said, I had never heard this. And he said, well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe you really ought to listen to this.
Yeah, you ought to get out more.
Honestly, like, it kind of felt like I've said some vulgar stuff in conversation with guys, but never anything like Donald Trump. It's kind of like the conversation where they had with 40-year-old version, where he's just like, oh, like, you know how boots feel like sandbags? It's like, what are you talking about? No.
He's just trying to play along.
No, you've never done this before. You are new at this. Like, it's so weird.
Same here.
That's what you say.
No, I've never heard anything quite like that, and I've heard a lot of stuff, but not like what Donald Trump described.
Yeah, it's nothing. That's not locker room. That's not normal talk.
Dave Lundy asked me on a Facebook message if I had ever heard, or you said you'd never heard anyone talk like that, and I said I had, but I'm a comic. I mean, I haven't, it's more on stage where they'll talk about aggressiveness. There's sort of like this,
there's language in the comedy scene where you have guys that talk about just.
And women.
And women.
This was something that came up with, you know, Amy on my thread was, well, Amy Schumer and all these female comedians that use this language. You know, I'm actually not that comfortable either, but it's, you know, if audience, we were talking about Second City and how audiences have changed and sort of this, whether or not it's because of Trump or also the accessibility of social media and just putting it all out there and feeling like your thoughts have to be shared right away and just yelling at the comics or the performers and dictating the direction of things and you know, sort of that immediate validation is what everybody is seeking.
That's not just Trump. I mean, that is the internet.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
It's the comment section of any newspaper. I mean, it drives me crazy. You see some of these people and they're saying the most vile and heinous thing about each people they don't even know.
I know.
I prefer to know people before I call them names like that.
It's true.
I'm a drink at least.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
An hour scrolling through Twitter and it's like, wow, where did all this stuff come from?
Yeah, I banned people from, I mean, I'm sure you do the same. I banned people from my Facebook
dozens
page.
Dozens yesterday.
And I've had to take my friends, and tell them and you know, send them private messages saying, guys, we don't do name calling. Mm-hmm. I don't do name calling. I'm sorry. You can disagree without being disagreeable.
Right.
I know it's harder this year. It really is because this is just so.
This is the worst year to not do name calling.
Oh my God. Yeah. But still, you can do it. I mean, look, Chris Roebling. You know, Chris Roebling and I do Justin Show.
I prefer to call him Paul Roebling, but yes, he doesn't like that. He doesn't enjoy it at all.
On our segment Touche on Monday nights on Justin Kaufman Show on WGN Radio.
I was shower listening to you. I felt weird.
And weird. Okay, whoa, visual. Sorry. But you know, look, Roebling and I will go out for drinks, and we will fight like cats and dogs in the air, but we don't call each other names.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
Yeah. It's yes, Eric.
Well, there's just a respect you have. I mean, you.
Oh
you
no, I have no respect for Chris. Please don't misunderstand. Yes, yes, I do. I respect Chris.
No, but you know, we were talking about this earlier. You know, years ago, you saw in the Congress, in previous roles that I had, members of Congress on opposite sides of the aisle would just get together to discuss something, and they end up telling jokes for the first 15, 20 minutes, laughing, yucking it up, and then got down to business and, you know, realized, you know, hey, I can't be with you on this, can't support you. But there was still a mutual respect. They got along. They'd have a drink later. And that's totally broken down.
Oh, absolutely.
And Eric, you and I had the had a nice bipartisan Zen moment here. We both blame the real villain in this, the real person who caused a lot of this to devolve was Newt Gingrich. When Newt Gingrich asserted himself in 92, 93, and then became Speaker in 94, the tone in Congress just went through the floor.
And when they say when they go high, when they go low, we go high. I can't right here because, you know, everyone says, what about Bill? When you bring up Newt Gingrich, and we mentioned a little bit earlier Dennis Hastert, Newt Gingrich was his wife was diagnosed with brain cancer and was being treated. And in the meantime, he was having an affair during the time he was putting together the 100-day contract.
Yes. And also, of course, there's Republican hypocrisy. We're all. Look, hypocrisy exists all over the place.
Right, not even
but
Republican all
hypocrisy on
right.
sexual morality mm-hmm. was so rampant in the 90s. Henry right. Hyde with his youthful indiscretions at the age of, like, whatever it was, 45. You know, Donald Trump is trying to excuse his, well, that was so long ago, I was just a young child of 59.
Right.
What was it, Robert Livingston, who was going to be Speaker of the House until Larry Flint put out a bounty on his head, and then it turned out he was having an affair at the exact time he was going to impeach Bill Clinton. I mean, God.
And Bill Clinton, who, you know, in a position of power. I mean, I don't know, as a young 23-year-old, a 24-year-old, I that would have been something it would be confusing, and I wouldn't know what to do, and he's the president of the United States, he's the most powerful man in the world. That's appealing, and that is, and as Patty, an adult, as a, yeah. yeah, I mean, like, that's something that, I don't know if he was running today.
Not
if
even as an adult, as a human, that's appealing. Like, you know, like, we're very vulnerable as people.
You kind of turned down right now.
Yeah,
I was
like, we're very vulnerable. I've been in situations, I was like, I don't know if I'm better than this or not. You know, we're very vulnerable.
And he took advantage
people.
Of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and he took advantage of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I, you know, to all of this, which leads us to this point, and whether it's Hillary or not, I think that this means we need more women in power. Let's see how
Absolutely.
We can mess things.
Yeah.
I think it leads us to the Bible. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to get all, you know, biblical on us, but I did spend all day at synagogue for Yom Kippur. although I'm going New Testament on this
Happy
one.
New Year.
Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. You know, it's a, come on, guys, you're everybody's vulnerable on something. So why don't we, like, skip a lot of that, and move on. Unfortunately with Donald Trump, it's at a different level,
right.
You know, and it's all self-inflicted. So
we are, by the way, we would still like to address some of the things that Sue, was talking about. We'll come back. We have a call from Lance. Again, join the conversation anytime, 312-981-7200. And, before everybody leaves, I'm going to make sure that I steal Dave Lundy's Cubs tickets. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Sydney Adeniyi, who is performing at the Laugh Factory tomorrow night and all of some days next week. What days next week?
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Oh, there you go. Go to laughfactory.com for the calendar and ticket information. Also joining us are political experts Eric Elk, Ken Jakubowski, and Dave Lundy, and we've been talking about this campaign, and I want to encourage anyone who feels frustrated, feels like they're not being heard, even if you're angry, we are taking your calls, we're taking your texts at 312-981-7200. We've continued the conversation because the calls do come in, and I want to keep this conversation going for as long as you do. So we have Lance on the air. Hi, Lance, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you today?
Very well. What do you want to tell us?
I want to talk about Mr. Trump. I think he's one of the most insecure persons there. You know, this gentleman talked about support. He said that these guys are not supporting him, so he go on his rampage. You know, what are you going to do when you're the president and they don't support your bill? Are you going to go into this rage like you're going to now? Because there are going to be a lot of times where they don't support your agenda. What are you going to do? He does things, and then he gets angry when people talk about these things. He talks about fairness. You're in the wrong business if you're talking about fairness. There is no fairness in politics. If you look at how they did this president right now, they made it their business not to support anything he did, whether they liked it or not. So if you're talking about fairness, you need to get out of politics. Just that simple. But the insecurities that he has, you can see it in his name on the side of his plane. You can see how he always talks about how great he is and how everything he does is just fabulous. And he has to hype himself. So even though he may be rich, this man is the most insecure man there is.
But Lance, isn't it fascinating how intoxicating it seems to be to a lot of people, how confident he comes across this, into whether or not it's to cover up insecurities? People are drawn to him. Eric, did you want to say something?
No.
Oh.
I honestly believe that Donald Trump is very aware of how he manipulates media. And like that's where he like reigns.
Well, and the numbers bore him out because at the first debate last year, what was it, 25 million people tuned into Fox?
Yeah.
It was a record number.
I don't think he's aware. I think
that's the trick.
People assume that he's aware.
He makes you feel that he's not aware because he has this persona where he's not intelligent, but he knows what he's doing. He got to this point to be the Republican nominee because he's very aware of how to manipulate society and media to get him in that scenario. The only thing he's not aware of is politics and policy and people and different things like that. He's not aware of that, but he knows how to manipulate.
What he's not aware of is what he's running to do.
Yeah, exactly. He's not aware of that, but he's been able to manipulate like media and society. Yeah,
a master at media.
I would say Lance has a point.
He does have a point. Yeah,
but because you know people have said, oh well, you know when he gets in office, it's going to freak him out, and Pence will be president anyway. I don't think so. I don't think he cares.
He doesn't care. No.
Look. It's not that Donald Trump is not smart. He is smart. He is a manipulator. He is masterful. That's absolutely true. But he has no self-discipline. He has no self-control. If we were confused about that, I mean, I think you look at some of these sexual assault allegations, he looks over, he's like, oh, she's cute, I'm just going to grab her. It's like, dude, no, stop yourself. Not okay. And the same thing when he's, these instincts of his are all bad. They're all like the basest instincts. Right. They're the most prurient instincts. And I just think that, I think we make a mistake to dismiss him as dumb.
Yeah, because he's not dumb. He's not dumb.
Right. No, but he has no discipline, no self control whatsoever.
But I would say, as far as manipulating, I think that the Clintons are also masters of manipulation. Whether it's Bill's charm or Hillary's, there is a strong element of that. And I'm not saying that they've manipulated them their way through investigations. The fact that they've survived, you know, I think Bill has paid money to Paula Jones to settle that case.
$875,000.
We have the numbers here.
You
think
she would have gone shopping, by the way, but that's another whole different matter.
Right. I mean, the investigation, by the way, people are like, what about Bill? Well, he was impeached. He did pay a settlement.
He was investigated by Ken Starr, who did everything he could to put Bill Clinton in jail in the 90s. Those of us who were involved in it, I was involved in it at that time, defending on the side, trying to defend the president. I mean, Ken Starr was a serious dude who looked into everything from Vince Foster down to all the women that you heard about on Sunday night. He looked into all that and found zero, including Whitewater. Nothing. Yeah. Zip,
well, that's why when Sue called from Central Illinois. And she's
originally
like, well,
Park Ridge.
How come nobody's looked into this stuff? My God. every single thing has been looked into again and again and again. And to Ken's point, Ken Starr spent so much money as an independent counsel that they eliminated the independent counsel statute because he had abused it so badly. And they looked into Whitewater, and they looked into Vince Vaughn. I mean, they looked into literally everything that Clinton had ever been accused of.
Do you remember the billing records at her law firm in Arkansas? They looked into the billing records. I mean, it was amazing.
And what they wound up with was the blue dress.
Right.
That was it.
And that's why, you know, a lot of people, this frustrates me a little bit, because a lot of people are like, well, why are you guys getting so righteously indignant? You know, you were all defending Clinton during the impeachment thing. I'm like, no. I didn't defend his position with Monica and how he was a horn dog, and how he was not just a horn dog, but he was he abused his power sexually to attract women. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I condemn that. But that's not an impeachable offense. Otherwise, a third of our presidents in history would have all been impeached. Right. And so that's what it was frustrating, is because he did take it from the things that he was supposed to look into, like Whitewater, and you wind up with the blue dress.
Right. And, by the way, I prefer, rather than righteously indignant, I prefer brightly smug.
Brightly smug. I'm good at brightly smug.
Just on it.
I got a lot of my friends on the air going, like, yep, you are. You betcha.
My
mom.
What has come out today with WikiLeaks? I was listening to a little bit about this. Some of the emails were about no one looked into anything about.
No, I've given it a little bit of my attention. Simply, poor John Podesta, who I think is he officially the chairman of the Clinton campaign?
Yes.
Used to be, was he chief of staff for Bill at some point?
He was in the White House.
Well-respected guy. And apparently the last 10 years of his emails, his Gmail account, are now for public view through WikiLeaks.
Although we do not, and here's the thing about this one, and this is really
some of them are doctored.
Some of them are fake.
And they've already discovered them.
Exactly.
The Russian intelligence. There is no doubt, and this is not just some crazy liberal saying this, our government has concluded this, the Russians are absolutely behind this.
Are we at war with Russia?
Well, in a sense, we're in cyber war.
Are we in cyber war?
Cyber war.
Yeah,
cyber
it's kind of scary.
With the hacks that come in nightly from both China and Russia, yeah. I mean, the Pentagon is constantly fighting that off every night.
Yeah, I mean.
And why is this something that people, I'm sorry, go ahead, Sydney.
I mean, on a daily basis, we're getting attacked cyberly.
Are we attacking back?
Well, or defending? The president said, said Monday that there will be some retaliation. He didn't say what. He didn't specify.
We kind of got busted a year or two ago over in Europe when, I think it was maybe in Germany, it came out that we were listening to
Angela Merkel's cell phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody listens to everybody. But in terms of the WikiLeaks stuff, I kind of feel like I'm violating poor John Podesta's privacy. But from what I can glean, this is just, it's no different than if you're launching a business. Everybody thinks about all kinds of different ideas. There's all sorts of different opinions. People write thoughts down in emails. 99% of it you throw out the window. Right. And you go with just what people just see the end result. Same thing on a campaign. There's all kinds of ideas kicked around, a lot of them bad, and they don't see the light of day. And that's what you're seeing in the give and take in the behind the scenes emails. A lot of the angst on the campaign. How do we position ourselves this way, that way?
I'm sorry. We're all very excited in the Allstate Showcase studio because you know what? We were updating our astrological signs. I think that's what we should spend our time doing for the rest of the political season.
Patty, I'm having an existential crisis.
Why?
I've been a Sagittarius my whole life. Now I'm an Ophicus or something.
Ophicus, do we know that's pronounced correctly?
Sign. You're the new one. Sign.
Before we
I am the 13th sign of the apocalypse.
Uh-oh, the devil.
That's not good. Isn't it's something bad happen? Oh, it's a seventh seal. That's not. Eric, did your sign change as well?
It did. I went from Aquarius to Capricorn.
Okay.
Well, at least you're a mainstream sign. I'm an Ophicus. What the
But the possibilities are endless
but
for you now.
Really cool.
You can create your own identity.
Yeah.
It changes things.
And I'm now an Aquarius instead of Pisces. I mean, my whole life I grew
Welcome.
Up thinking
it's
I'm
really
a Pisces.
Cool.
And now I don't know what Aquarius even is.
I'm an Aries instead of a Taurus, and I don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, Taurus has got a bull.
Homework.
Yeah, I'm still single.
I'm so excited. Mine stays exactly where it was, a Leo, and I was always a Leo.
Well, you know, maybe Nancy Reagan got all that bad advice over the years from her astrologer mm-hmm. because the astrologer was using the wrong set of signs.
Oh, see, that's where we all went wrong.
It's
Craig,
a bad astrologer.
What's your birthday? Oh, October 31st. Can you check October 31st for Craig's birthday?
October 31st is Libra.
What were you before, Craig?
I was a Scorpio before, and I'm not happy about this. Now you want to be a Scorpio.
No one's happy with this. So, we're all changing.
You know, this is actually, Dave Lundy brought up a good point. What happened to all these people who really put a lot of faith into this and believe it and have gone to folks for readings?
Who based their lives off of this?
Yeah, all really, the money they spent?
The marriages and kids.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh,
I'm waiting for Mr. and Mrs. Wright? Yeah.
This is just devastating.
Yeah. And they're all wrong.
So we laugh. We're laughing because
Phil, I swear we're getting
really
to you next. I'm helping my guests deal with their newfound status in the astrological chart.
We're laughing because none of us really actually put a lot of stock into these things.
But every once in a while,
you have listeners. There are people listening right now who put a heck of a lot of stock in it.
Laughing.
And the whole thing is now
freaking out.
Yeah, there were games made of the zodiac. All those games you throw out because now there's a new one. So,
hey, baby, what's your sign? I'm an Ophicus.
It's hot. That's hot.
I got to tell you, you got a good one. Ophicus. Ophicus. What is an Ophicus? It sounds like a
fish. I don't
fish.
Even know what Ophicus is. It sounds like the new Shrek movie.
Yeah. A character in the Shrek
movie. Hey,
you
know what they say about us Ophicai.
Ooh, I like the plural. That's even Ophicai? That sounds masculine right there. Phil,
it's a new fraternity.
Phil wanted to join our conversation, 312-981-7200. We encourage everyone to share your thoughts on anything we're talking about tonight. But Phil, you wanted to come back to our Trump conversation, which we appreciate. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Very well. What do you want to tell us?
Well, first off, I think that pickup line would actually work.
Yes.
The girl would be so confused that I think it would actually start a conversation.
That's what you do, dazzle them with vagary.
Hey, that's how I pick up women.
Did you know there's a new sign of the zodiac, and it's me? This could be fun. Too bad I'm not in college or single or something.
Hey, Phil, so what's up?
So back in like 2011, I was actually one of the people that said I wouldn't mind Trump campaigning, you know, because as a business tycoon, I feel like you might have, you know, some sort of unique insight to, you know, issues.
Okay.
But we're here now.
We are. Sadly.
5 years later.
Sadly.
Be careful what
we've
you wish for.
We've heard what he had to say, and you should have just never got as far as he did.
Yeah.
And I'm just shocked that after everything he said and everything he's done, that his numbers weren't affected back in the primaries. Like, why couldn't people figure it out back then, and we actually get a better candidate than what we got?
I think, for one, not a lot of people participate in primaries, believe it or not. It's a small percentage of the overall electorate on both sides, Republican and Democrat. And when you had 16 or 17 candidates running, you knew Trump would be a force from the beginning. All he needed was a small sliver of the electorate when you have it split apart that many.
Yeah,
but I actually think you're not giving the other candidates enough credit for being lame. I mean, I don't.
For those who supported Rubio or Ted Cruz or Carly, I apologize for that. But
this is something I always get into with people about politics, which is you don't meet somebody with nobody.
Yeah.
And even though they had quantity, they did not have quality in that primary. I mean, Jeb Bush was awful. My God, the man got beaten up because he was called low energy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pathetic.
Well, I think with that.
But funny, though, I have to tell you, I laughed all the time. I watched those debates and I said, this is. I sat there with popcorn and I'm like, this is great.
Well, they were afraid to alienate the Trump constituents.
Trump,
so then they let him get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
But speaking of which, Trump talking about the size of his hands and Marco's hands.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, I'm sitting there going, this is great.
Eric, you're the Republican here. What do you think?
No, and
did you have a horse in the race?
I did. I was with Jeb.
You're with Jeb.
Oh, sorry. I loved him, but he was just too low energy.
But I wonder if part of it was the dozen or so candidates were almost too controlled, too disciplined, too political,
too
experienced
in their responses and in their rhetoric.
I think Marco Rubio knew exactly what he was doing.
Right, but he had two.
You missed.
They had, right, but they had two political of answers.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
And the fact that Trump didn't, he didn't care about anything. I mean, he just said what he was thinking. No,
I think Donald Trump came in a game and played it completely different.
Right.
He didn't play it from a political standpoint, but more of a reality TV standpoint. Yeah.
And
where,
nobody knew what to do. And no respond.
You can't respond as a political like candidate because you don't know how to respond
right.
to a guy who's playing the game of, oh, you sweat too much. You know, are you...
What do you say to
your
that?
Hands, like, what do you say to that?
Yeah, didn't he say that it looked like he wet his pants? Was that one of the things right. that he actually said to another candidate?
He literally said that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And he went down the line. He started with Jeb, and then he picked Jeb off. Then he started going
He
to the
literally
next guy,
insulted
guy.
People like it was a rap battle. Like, he literally went down the line and insulted people and like, I thought we were talking about politics, and he's just talking about people and how they look. You know, and people are just like, oh, we're going to vote for him versus the guy who actually has a plan to fix our economy.
And he destroyed them.
And he destroyed them.
Well,
he destroyed them.
And then Marco tried to play the game, and it was like a joke.
He could not play the game. It was so sad.
He tried.
He tried to.
I felt sorry for him.
He tried.
I'd watch those debates with my popcorn, and I'd see Marco start into it. I'm like, oh, man, no, Marco, don't try. You're in way over your head.
Eric, was there anybody – I mean, I know Phil – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm actually kind of wondering what the Republicans will do in 2020 then, how they'll run their
campaign.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask.
Are they going to try and follow Trump's?
This pattern? This sort of.
Or are they going to try and. I don't know.
This blueprint. Well, thank you so much for calling, Phil. I wanted to ask Eric, I mean, do you see someone coming down?
I think they're going to hit the reset button.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they got to rebuild.
They have to divert as far as. They can from this rhetoric and what Donald Trump has made the Republican Party.
I think the Republican Party, as we've all known it growing up, no longer exists and will not exist after this.
He literally destroyed it.
Yeah, it's going to be a very different party. And in terms of role models, I hope they would follow our President Barack Obama, who is just the absolute essence of class, the way he handles just about everything.
Yeah. I think it's such hypocrisy with all these party leaders because I think in private – they're all saying Trump doesn't understand history, doesn't understand foreign policy, doesn't understand, you know, he doesn't have the temperament for this, but yet nobody is stepping up and leading and trying to take him out and say we can't be with this guy.
I asked a good friend of mine, Jimmy Schubert, we get in a lot of political conversations when we're hanging out, and I said, who do you want? Who do you got? Who's your guy? And I say that meaning, you know, the way when you watch, you know, any of the cop shows like Law and Order, I think this is our guy. Yeah. It could be a woman. I'm just saying, who do you got? And I feel that way for the Democratic Party, too. I don't know who else we have. People are like, how do we come down to these two people? Well, this is where we are now. We're not inspired by anybody anymore.
You know,
people
complained, and rightly so, about having the decision as to who the nominee was going to be made by a few guys in smoke-filled rooms. But you know, they didn't do a bad job in coming up with candidates for a long time. And I think there's going to be a reassessment of whether it's too open, because both parties were hijacked.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
if you had told me that a socialist was going to win 22 primaries and caucuses on the Democratic side, I'd have told you, you're nuts. There's no way that would happen.
No, you would have got behind him.
Well, I was behind him.
It was.
But I never thought it would happen.
You would never think they would win.
Right. I didn't.
You
think
support
them,
but like, they're not going to win. Yeah.
I was hoping he'd get to 25%. Yeah. That's all I hoped.
Look, the reality is that in the Democratic Party, a horrible secret that's not particularly well kept is – we have no bench. We have no bench for president.
This is exactly. But I don't think anybody. Where are the benches?
Right. There's nothing.
Well, the Republicans thought they had an amazing bench. They had 17 candidates. Oh my God, our bench is astonishingly poor. So it's not quantity, it's quality. Yep. And I don't know, when you're looking behind Trump. I obviously Pence wants it. Martinez, the governor of New Mexico,
Susanna.
Her, and
I think it depends on how much collateral damage Trump does to folks in the House and Senate.
Well, here, and this is what, the most important thing is that we hear from our listeners and continue the conversation. We have Phil, another Phil. Phil, how are you doing tonight? Hey, Phil.
Ray.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, good. Hey, you know, I'm first generation born here. My parents came here after the war. Just the opportunity that anybody, anybody in this nation, if they're willing to put up with all this, can run for president. You know, just look at it, all the countries that they can't do that.
Right.
And I would really be surprised if there's a huge amount of people that show up to turn out to vote, like they did for Obama. I really, really would be surprised. I mean, you know, all the criticism, the nastiness, the negativeness, and all that. Well, you know, it was a lot worse than the history when Andrew Jackson ran for president and Lincoln and all that. So that's just the game of politics. But man, you know, you can tell your kid, girl, boy, whatever, hey, you know, if you want it, go for it. We'll support you for it.
I think Donald Trump is really approaching Andrew Jackson level. I mean,
without the poison lead in his bloodstream.
I mean, seriously, we're I think that press conference on Sunday night before the debate, you know, with the four accusers and, you know, the I'm going to put her in jail and all the rest of it. I think Donald Trump is actually right up there with the worst in American history.
There's no question about that. I will say this to his point. We've had a little bit more than, and this is as of yesterday, a little bit more than 500,000 votes have already been cast around the country.
I was just going to ask, how many people are already voting, and how does that compare to past elections with early
voting?
Very
consistent with 2012.
Okay, which was
good for Hillary.
Which was a good turnout in 2012.
We've had 87,301 cast in Iowa, down to 21,988 in North Carolina. North Carolina and Florida are, because of all the weather there, they're lagging behind, but they expect that those will be well over 1 million early votes will be cast in each of those states based on history. But everything is tracking consistent with 2012, which was an up year for early voting.
Well, unfortunately for Donald Trump, he has such a robust ground game that he's going to be stocking all of those early. Eric Helix is looking at me like I'm insane. Yes, I'm kidding. Donald Trump has no ground game. He's not going to be putting any of those early votes in the bank.
Well, I can tell you in Wisconsin, 55% of early votes are Democratic, 33% Republican. In Virginia, 52% Democratic, 39% Republican. In Iowa, 56% Democratic, 26% Republican. Michigan, 39% Democrat, 36% Republican, and on down the line.
Wow.
The only state in which there have been a significantly higher percentage of Republican votes cast already, or at least people who identify partisan ID, is Georgia, 59% Republican, 36% Democrat. And about 90% of people who say they're of a particular party, who identify with the party, will then vote for that party. So it's pretty, these are not actual votes, but it's a pretty good gauge
of where we're heading.
Yeah.
Colleen is on the line. She's been holding. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Patty. Hi, everybody. I have a bad connection, and I'm a trucker, so it probably might get dropped off as far as my phone call.
That's right.
But I just really had two statements to make. When it comes to Trump, he has shown a pattern with women. If you go back to the first debate, I think he made a statement about Carly Fiorini's looks and that her husband had to wake up to that every morning.
Yeah.
That he made that statement. And then, of course, the Megyn Kelly about her bleeding out of everywhere. And then you move on to, of course, the taunts between him and Rosie O'Donnell. And then you move on to the Miss Piggy with Miss Universe. And it just goes on and on. He's just showing a pattern. And I think that he looks at women as to be looked at and judged first before anything else. So just on that alone, I'm not voting for him. But as far as the other issue is, his temperament is very much at play. This is a man that when you're asked questions from the press in a conference or whatever, get him out of here, or he doesn't like the question and he gets combative. Now, let's say he does become president. What is he going to do when he has to have press conferences and he doesn't like the tough questions that he's being asked? He can't just throw people out of there, every reporter, or meeting with world leaders if he doesn't like what they have to say. What is he going to kick them out of the meeting? I mean, so I really am disgusted. I mean, I'm not thrilled with Hillary. But she is, at least I know with Hillary, and I'm, like I said, I'm not thrilled with her, but I know she's predictable. And as far as Trump, he's unpredictable, I think that it would be a disservice if anybody could vote for him.
I kind of like that as a slogan. Thank you so much, Colleen.
Thank you so much, Colleen.
Only because I have an echo, I have to put her back on hold. But I kind of like that. At least she's predictable.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't heard that yet. I mean, you kind of know there might be a twist on a story.
That actually is a lot of what these Republican papers are saying, yeah, in Foreign Policy and these other magazines are saying. They're like, look, we may not like her and we may have an issue with her transparency and her candor and blah, blah, blah. But at least she's a safe choice. We know she's within the realm of normalcy.
I think she'll be – my personal opinion is I think she'll be fine as a president. I'm not sure she's – I feel like she might be somewhat like Jimmy Carter.
No.
I'm going to let these guys argue during the break. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We're wrapping up our three-hour conversation. This was only supposed to last until 12:30 at the latest. Dave Lundy, Ken Jacobowski, Eric Elk, and Sidney Adeniyi are tonight's political experts. And we talked about the campaign the whole time. I will tell you something good. Go Commies! Give me your tickets. Seriously, Dave, give me your tickets.
No way, Patty. Sorry,
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's my something good.
Yes.
Is I'm going to game one on Saturday.
Oh. Woo-hoo. Who are you taking?
Hey. I'm taking my son Eli, of course.
Aww.
Right. He is so excited. Eli is a huge sports fan. Not a huge Cubs fan. He's more of a White Sox fan. But he's a huge sports fan.
Why would you take
and a
him
huge
to
baseball
the game,
fan. Cannot wait to go. I've got him on the train. He's on the bandwagon.
All right,
he's
then,
cool.
Fine. Sydney. I'm so glad you came in, and I'm sorry the segments we were going to do got sort of taken over. But the listeners joined the conversation. Yeah. Tell me something good.
Oh, well, I moved to L.A.
I
live in L.A.
now.
I don't
see how that's good for us.
Yeah.
How do you like it so far?
It's cool. I've been on the road a lot. I've been doing a lot of colleges and clubs all around the country. So I've not been having a lot of sleep because I don't know what time zone I'm in right now.
Yeah, you're sort of you're
I'm a nomad.
You're a nomad. That's
I'm
not
a
bad.
Nomad right now.
It's not bad.
But
what neighborhood did you end up in L.A.?
So I'm in Ontario, and it's a suburb of L.A., I guess. So they don't really go by suburbs in
L.A. No, they
LA.
Don't.
I'm like, hey, I'm in a suburb. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like 40 miles out of the city.
Yeah.
So I'm there temporarily until December or January when I get a spot in L.A.
All right. Very cool. Well, congratulations on your move to L.A.
Thank you.
That was fun. Tell me something good, Eric. Eric Elk.
I think that we already know who's going to win this presidential.
Is that something good for just
good
you like
bad?
Knowing? Because for the Republican Party, that seems like
Javi Baez is going to win the presidency.
Oh, he should win.
He's going to get, and I think Bryant's MVP.
There you go.
So he's a running mate. He's a VP.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Ken, tell me something good.
I get to see my 6.5-year-old daughter, Eva, in about 5 hours.
Very nice.
That always makes a day good. And I'm going to watch game one and game two from the comfort of my living room, where when the game turns into a blowout, I can put on football.
Or hockey.
I'm very excited about this weekend. We're almost done. By the way, what was I going to say? I can't remember what I was going to say about the report. Oh, don't you think, before we go, I do think that Hillary being president does give the Republican Party at least a focal point of hating Hillary.
They've been doing that for weeks.
They need a focal of hate.
I know. I'm just saying.
25
that
years.
Fox News is going to make a lot more money.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Not when Trump gets in the game.
That's true. Good point.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's going to create a new network.
There you go. Well, hopefully people will still listen to WGN. Hopefully they don't have a radio station. We'll be fine.